Thankful to God for this a new day, one we've never seen before, and we will never see it again. But you know, God is good, not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good. And I'm happy to be alive.
Amen.
And to know the goodness in God and mercy of God, grace of God is still active in the world. And some of you don't know me. I'm from Hemp Hill, but some of y'all I don't know, so I'll introduce myself as Brother Brooks, Tommy Brooks. I'm the minister of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights in Houston, Texas. And I'm honored to be asked to speak today. I can't do the eulogy because I can't speak of the deceased.
Yeah.
And the eulogy has been done by her. She's lived her life.
Yeah.
It's obvious to me that people love her. She was a loving mother, obviously, and a loving wife. And your friends and family are here because you know more about her than I do. But I have been on the front row recently. So I know what Kelly's feeling to lose a wife. So I think I can speak on the matter as it pertains to, and I'm not going to be long because I don't think this necessary to draw this out, but it's tough. It's tough for the children. It's tough for the family, those who love their mother. And y'all don't know me, but I know God knows you. And so my job is to speak well of the deceased that resurrected from the grave. I can speak about him. And so my eulogy is a gospel message. So, you know, the Bible talks about in 2 Samuel 14, we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that is banished be not expelled from him. When you pour water on the ground, you can't. You would like to scoop it up again, but you can't. See, once death invades our ranks and come into our homes, it leaves our homes so lonely and drear. And you want to scoop the water up. You want to undo it. But there's no undo button on death. There's no undo. You can't undo it. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's God's decision. And even though we cry, must we cry? Yes, we must cry. Because God gave us reasons to cry. He gave us the tear ducts for the purpose of weeping when we must weep. There's seasons for everything. There are days when we're going to laugh. But what if every day was a day of laughter? What would be the purpose of death? That's what I want to talk about. A few minutes for all of us. You know, When you look at this place we're in today, many call it a funeral. They call it a funeral in the world. The Bible never refers to as a funeral. This place we're in is called the house of mourning. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I'm going to quote a lot of scripture because I believe the Bible is right. Do y'all believe the Bible is right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you ain't gonna have no problem with nothing I'm going to say. You won't be upset at me at all because you believe the Bible is right. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Now, there's somebody out there enjoying themselves feasting and partying. And sometimes, even when I grew up here, every funeral was a homegoing celebration. Everybody want to stand up and clap and talk about how they see them in heaven. All that stuff is not true. You can't see nobody. It wasn't designed for us to be clapping. It says better go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Why? For the living will lay it to heart. Says sorrow is better than laughter. For the countenance of the man is made better when we're in the house of mourning. So God's purpose for death is to sit us down. So we can know that we too will die. So if we were laughing all the time, we wouldn't realize that. And some folk ain't gonna step a foot in a church building. But when death comes in homes, God will sit you down in the pew. Because that's better for man. It's better for us that we know and take serious that life can end at any time. It's water spilled in the ground and we can't recover it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13, in this book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes about life and living life without God. And Solomon says, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And he said, this sore travail, and sore travail is for the women in here, it's the pain you feel when having a baby. A travail is a childbearing-like pain. A travail can be painful, then you can have the sowing. For me, December 4th, 1984, right here in Hempfield. Got a phone call. My little brother, 20 years old, was killed in a car wreck. Seven children, Carter Brooks, Jerry Brooks, never lost a child. I have never lost a brother. But when I got that phone call, I felt a pain I had never felt in my life. Because it was not just a travail. It was a sowing. November the 8th, 2018, I got the call of my lovely wife. And it's a pain I had never felt. You can play your game if you want to. But I didn't come to just play about it. But God said this. This sort of veil had God given to the sons of men to be exercised. What are you saying, God? When I hand death to your family, it's a pain that you got to deal with. Exercise. What are you saying? Deal with it. Because it ain't going to, we can't undo it. You can't make it better. You can't make it work. It is what it is. So they got their call. So what is the options? You deal with it one or two ways. You can deal with it with God.
Amen.
Or you can deal with it without God.
Uh-huh.
But you got to deal with it.
Amen.
So in 1984, I dealt with it by choosing to obey God myself 35 years ago And today, I deal with death with God. So my question becomes, how will you die? What will you die believing? I worry about us people. We just take at what people stand in the pulpit, call themselves preachers like myself. Just take at what they say. How will you die? Some folk gonna die believing there's no God. Some people gonna die believing there's no devil. Some will die believing no heaven. Some will die believing in no hell. Some will die believing in God. Some will die believing long as you good, you go to heaven. Some will die believing it don't matter. We just like old Rover, we did all over. Some will die believing they don't know what to believe. They just scared to die because they don't know what's on the other side. So when you talk about dying, they fear death because they don't have no system of belief. So then you got to ask yourself, well, do I believe in death? Well, you notice one thing. No one has to prove to us with a book called the Bible that people are going to die. You know, all the preaching I've been doing for 35 years, and some of mine are controversial because I say things folk don't normally like to hear. But no one ever questioned me on that one. You want why? You want to know why? The graveyards are letting us know. Yeah, we all know it's real. Let me ask y'all to do me a favor. Look at your family portrait when you go home and think about whose face is next. You ever thought about that? The fading faces of our families. Death will X them out. It'll just be a memory. You say, well, brother, bro, what are you saying? I'm saying to the family, look here. This is not something we can undo, but here's how we can deal with it. You deal with it with God. Right. Believing. You got to die believing something. Yeah. You know, what is your, okay, say you say, well, I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a God. And I believe, okay, let's assume we all in here believe that. Then where did it come from? Where did you get that belief from? Did it come from your mama? Did it come from your daddy? Did it come from Uncle John, Reverend so-and-so, Father so-and-so, Brother so-and-so? Where did you get your belief from? What are you going to die relying on as truth as to what's on the other side? Are you going to gamble with this one like we used to do on the hill? We're going to roll the dice on this one? Not smart. Where did you do, where your system come? Where your system of belief come from? Well, I tell you about me growing up. I talk about me. I grew up, I was Baptist. Good, all my people were Baptist. So y'all don't get to talk about my folk. You talk about yours. Don't get to talk about my people. I talk about them. Yeah, I tell you what I believe growing up. I shared it with, and one thing I know, most of him people believe like me. Yeah, because you know, everybody got killed, no matter if they were drunk or in a car wreck that night, or they was at the club, or if they were down there, somebody got shot and they died, we went to the funeral and they went to heaven. Everybody went to heaven. Everybody went to heaven. That's the way we believe. As long as you believe in Jesus, you're gone. You're on your way. Yeah, we're going to clap and shout. And we're going to say, well, I see you now up there with mama. Mama saved me a seat. You don't see no mama in no seat. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I can come home and talk like a homeboy, can't I? Y'all went to them funerals like I did. My daddy. We had a Bible in the house down there in Danieltown. How many of y'all know where I'm from? 944. Down there in Danieltown for the Hempel folk. Yeah, down there. All my folk down there believed in God. All of us believed in God. My daddy believed in God. My mama believed in God. Grandmom, grandfathers. But we didn't read the Bible. My daddy, he had a Bible, and when them tornadoes come through Hempel, y'all know how them tornadoes come through here, right? When them bad weather come through and that lightning stuff start popping, daddy would say this, he'd put the Bible, and his name was Carter Brooks, if y'all know. He would open that Bible and put it up on a bed in every room in the house. There were 7 kids in a 3-bedroom. I don't know how we did it. The 2 of us slept with mom and daddy. I don't know how all that happened, but we made it some kind of way. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah, the Bible was important to us. Because God, what daddy would say, look here, boy. Now you get over there and sit down. You know, we had them metal screen doors. Y'all don't know nothing about that, huh? When you have no air conditioning, all that, you let the windows up and open the door, huh, man? And that wind come through and the mosquito stayed out. Yeah. And so Dad, what did he say? He said, look here, here's what I want you to do. Sit down right over there. And don't y'all move. Here's what he say. Because the Lord is doing his work. That's how much respect my daddy had for God. My mama had the same respect. My grandmother, my aunties and uncles all down there, all the same respect for God. When God was doing his work, we sat down. But we didn't read the Bible. Now, we had them pretty places, and we had that big Bible with them ghostly figures look in the back of Revelation, them big old lions and stuff in them. Y'all got some of them books? That big book, Lord, they wired it up, JD. They wired that thing up. You see them lions in there. I bet they were scared. I didn't like the Bible. I got away from that book. We didn't read it. So you say, well, brother, what's your point? What you going to die believing? If I'd have died like that, I'd die believing like my daddy did. The Bible was good for tornadoes. But here's what I want to tell you. Don't die believing anything but this. Amen. I'm going to say something to y'all. I'm going to speak the truth. Because I know some of you done heard Church of Christ preaching. You don't like us. Some of you all don't. Because some of them don't do it right. They do it like they're being mean. I'm trying to say to us in love that I can't die believing like my daddy. If my daddy didn't read the Bible. Uh-huh. No one would stand for me but me. My mama won't be there in my case. Your mama won't stand for you. You got to stand for yourself. Now here's the question. How many of you believe in Jesus? Say amen if you believe in the yeah. Now, if you believe in Jesus, let me remind you, you never saw him in Jerusalem. Do you believe that he hung on a cross? Do you believe that he hung there for 6 hours in Jerusalem around AD 33? You believe that? Do you believe God loved you? And he sent that son? Do you know you don't believe that because you saw it? We believe in a Jesus because of a book called the Bible. None of us saw him. Somebody said, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in this or that. Well, then if it's in the Bible, then you ought to believe in whatever's in the Bible. Amen. So here's so some will die believing it don't matter where you go to church. Some will die believing it don't matter if you're baptized. Some will die believing it don't matter if you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Some will die believing ain't nothing in the name. Some will die believing it don't matter as long as I'm okay and believe in God. I want y'all to quote a scripture for me real quick. If y'all can do it with me, I'm going to help you with this. Y'all ready? John 3:16. Y'all know that one? Everybody know that one. Watch. Now, watch. I want y'all to listen to this. Let's do it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, but have everlasting life. Now, that's what I heard it taught to me all my years growing up. It was quoted just like you did. But I want to read it to you now. Because it don't say what you just said. And now if you don't know this, I taught you this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, not shall not. The one verse they changed, the one word in John 3:16 was changed to allow us to believe all we had to do was believe in Jesus. Was shall and should. Now, if you've been quoting it, shall stop. Because you've misquoted that scripture. And here's how I want to say this to you. You should not perish if you believe in Jesus. You should not. Because if you believe in him, then you'll do what he say do. So let me talk about this. So remember I talked about how me, I can talk about my family. So you believe whatever you want to believe. But here's the thing. I'm going to close it like this. I want Kelly and his family to know something. What gives me great joy is to know that I tried to lead my family according to this book. as a husband who lost a wife, as a father who have children, I want them to know that daddy believed this is right over me. And I want them to know this. Because I don't know her, but I know what she done and what she believed is being a member of the Church of Christ. I know what we believe. And I'm going to share that with y'all. We believe, number one, this book's right from the front to the back. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We believe that. We believe there's no private interpretation. It didn't come from Paul or Peter or James. 2 Peter 1:20-21, knowing this first, and no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided them to write this truth. John 16:13, Jesus said, howbeit when he the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall guide you in all truth. This is all truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what he said. He said, sanctify them through that word. That word is true. We believe that. We believe that all our heart. And when we tell people what to do to be saved, here's what we're going to tell them. We're not going to tell them prayer, sinner's prayer, like I did when I was young. When I first got baptized, right here. It said, accept Jesus, your personal Savior. You saved. 2 weeks later, we went to Man Wind Pond. All them snakes in there. And they baptized us down there at Man Wind Pond. But they didn't baptize us the same day. You want to know why? Because we didn't believe that baptism was essential for salvation. We believed that God heard a sinner's prayer. But this book said in John 9:31, this we know, God hears not a sinner. She wasn't taught that. Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, not that he can't. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, making your own law up. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's in your Bible. So we don't tell people to pray a sinner's prayer. We say he will not hear you. You say, well, what happens, Brother Brooks? Faith come by hearing, Romans 10:17. And hearing by the word of God. Your faith is developed. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So first thing we tell a person, they must hear the gospel. So Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. The next question, anyone who want to be saved and don't want to die trying, want to gamble at this thing, you ask, what is the gospel? It's found back in the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. It said, moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. And keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. So what is the gospel? The story of God loving us and sending his son. His son coming to the world, living about 33 years. He prayed 3 times in the garden, asked God to let the cup pass. God wouldn't do it. They took him from the garden. He went to 6 trials at nighttime. It's all in your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it. They took him. And with wicked hands, they slain him and whipped him with a whip. Called a flagellum. They scourged him. He had stripes all over his body. From the whip, because they had metal bones and fragments at the end of it. And when they ripped it loose and pulled skin from the bone, blood came from that stripe. That same blood will heal you today. When the blood, that blood is not a physical healing, but it's a spiritual healing.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And so they took him. They took him from there. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They slapped him. They spit on him. It's in your Bible. Read it. Don't use it for tornadoes. They took him. Put a cross on his back. A robe on his back. The robe was, the Bible said, was the vesture dipped in blood. He was bleeding so bad. They led him up a hill called Calvary. Sometimes they call it Golgotha, the place of the skull. But it doesn't matter what you call it. Calvary or Golgotha, the place of the skull. It was on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross is where they nailed nails in his hands and in his feet.
Yes.
And why did he hang up there between those two thieves? To save this young lady. To give her a hope. For eternal life, to give all of us a hope. We don't have to gamble. We don't have to guess. We don't have to play games with this thing. Folk are going to die in their sins. John 8:21, Jesus said, if you die in your sin where I am, you can't come. That's if you believe in this book for something other than tornadoes. What did she believe? She believed in that story. That's a love story. How God loved us. They took him down off the cross, buried him in a tomb, and resurrected on Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday. He said, go in the world and preach the gospel like I'm doing now. Preach the story of the gospel. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. He never said he that believe and pray the sinner's prayer. He said he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. And guess what she believed? She believed it. And guess what they did to her? Baptized her. He said, Brother Brooks, you were baptized? She might have been. I was too. But when you learn better, you do better. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right, ladies and friends. Either it's right or it's not. So they took her to the water. She heard, she believed. Number three, she had to repent. She had to change. Your change takes up here. Change the way you believe. If your belief is not like this, change it. It's called repentance. But here's what he said now. I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. Luke 13:3. And verse 5. And number 4, she confessed that Jesus Christ was Son of God. How do you know that, brother? This is what we teach. Acts 8:35-37. He preached unto her Jesus. It came unto water. He said, here's water will stop you from baptizing me. He said, if you believe. And the man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go read that. That's in Acts 8:35-37. So she said, we asked her, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God? She'll say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. And right upon, not 2 weeks later, not right then. Because in the Bible, they baptized 3,000 people on the same day. You want to know why? Because it requires water to be saved. So I say, ain't nothing in the water. You don't believe that. If you believe there's something in fire, you want some water, don't you? You believe water is essential to put out fire, right? But if God said it, believe it. If God said it, that settles it. The matter. Straight to the water. What's else in the water? Blood, Revelation 1:5. What's the blood going to do? Wash away your sins. He loved us and washed us our sins in his own blood. Now watch when you can call. You remember how we said, whosoever call the name of the Lord shall be saved? Y'all remember that? How many of y'all believe like this then? He said, whosoever call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, in Acts 22:16, it said, arise while tarriest thou, be baptized. Watch this. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So when you call on the name of the Lord, it's after your sins been washed away in baptism. That's in your Bible, Acts 22:16. In the last part, once we're baptized and we are added to the church. And so we believe that there's one Lord, Ephesians 4:4. There's one body. The body is the church, Ephesians 1:22-23. He's the head of the body, the church. So we believe in one body, one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That's Ephesians 4:4-6. We don't say this to be mean. I really don't. I'm saying it to say, think about it. Think about this. What will you die believing, and where did it come from? Now, I'm going to be around for a little while, and I'll be able to answer any questions that you have. But I want to close with this here to all of us in here. There was a little boy who was pushing his brother down a sidewalk in a wheelchair. The wheelchair tipped over in the ditch. And the boy was too heavy to get him up out of the ditch. Y'all got me? And so the little boy was trying to get his brother out of that ditch, and there were some rocks. He was throwing rocks at cars, trying to get somebody to stop and help him. He kept throwing them rocks, And, you know, nobody would stop. And that little boy ran out of options. And the only thing left was a rock, a brick. And that little boy picked up that brick. And my last shot. And it was a car, brand new black Jaguar coming down the road. And that little boy wanted to get his brother out there. Did y'all see him, don't you? He reared back. And he aimed carefully. He threw that rock, threw that brick. And it hit the side of that black Jaguar. And the driver of the Jaguar hit his brake and backed up and said, man, what are you doing? hitting my car with that brick. He said, sir, I'm sorry. See, my brother in the ditch. And I've been throwing rocks all day. And nobody would stop. Remember this, God, I've been throwing rocks at all of us. But then he'll throw a brick. See that? Your brick coming. Your brick coming. What you gonna do when the brick come? Because God will stop you in your tracks. The question I'm gonna leave you with is what, when he stopped you with death, what did he stop you believing?
Amen.
She believed the Church of Christ. I believe the Church of Christ. That's the one in the Bible. You know, if there was a Baptist church, I'd preach it. Boy, I'd tell you, I'd love to, because all my family, I would do it. But I can't, because it ain't in the book. Can't take that chance. Not to be mean, but I just can't do it. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, because that's what they did in the Scripture, in the New Testament. We sing, we pray, we give, we don't tithe, and we hear the Word of God preached. And you got some of that today with a cappella singing. That's the way we worship. And that's where she died, I believe. Now, am I speaking the truth in love? Yes. Do I love you? Yes. Do you love me?
Yes.
Well, you don't have nothing to be mad about. Ain't no sense going, oh, Brother Brooke, no, you just decide what you're going to believe. If you believe that the devil is real, just die believing that the devil is real. You believe that there's no God, die believing like there's no God. But here's what I did for you. I took away all that other stuff. And I came home and said to my hometown, y'all can believe all that crazy stuff we were told. You can keep believing in tornadoes, or you can go back and read. You can go to my website, hollandheightscoc.net. You can call me, 281-750-2702. You can look me up on Facebook, YouTube. You can order my books. Tommy Brooks. You can call me personally. I answer your questions. But you ain't got no reason to be mad at me because you told me you believe in the Bible. Now, if you believe in the Bible, be mad at God. Because he's the one who said it. And then I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't box with God. Your arm too short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I want to say this, Kelly. One thing I learned losing my wife was this. And I'm going to say this to the children, too. There's a difference between grieving and mourning. There's some people going to cry with you today. They're going to go home and eat chicken. And it's over for them. But you got to go home every night and get in that bed, and she ain't going to be there.
That's right.
And there's your difference. When my mama died, I came to the funeral, and my life went on. I love her. I miss her. I mourned over my mother and my father. But I grieved over my wife. Why? There's an attachment that with her went the lotion on your back. The conversation in the morning. The discussion about the children, your bedmate, your friend, my wife is my best friend, my closest friend, my home girl. I'm just trying to help him. And to the mothers, when you lose a child, you will grieve like nobody else will, because that's your attachment. That's the baby that came from your womb. You say, brother, what do we do when we grieve? Get help. I put together a grief program because I didn't know the difference between grieving and mourning, but I do now. And some people are going to cry and move on, but you got to deal with it. The children got to deal with it. Here's what I want you to do. Lord, if you don't have a grief program that help you get through it, call me. I'll help you. But don't try to do it on your own. You need help. So to the children, look here. Here's what mama's death can do for all of us, y'all. It can bring us closer to God. You know how I said all things work together for good? Yep, you read that. How can it be that the death of somebody you love so dearly be good to you? If it brings you closer to God, if it causes her grandchildren to obey God, if it causes her family to obey God, if it causes all of us to get closer and read this book and do what God told us, it was the best thing for us. If it saved our soul, if it saved his daughter's soul, it was the best thing for him. That sounds crazy, but it's true. The best thing that happened to us, God set us down to make us think about our own souls. And that's it. I think that was 20 minutes worth, something like that. But that's it. I really do appreciate the opportunity. I don't know why I was asked, but I'm glad I was asked. I really am appreciative, and I hope I've helped you. Two things: comfort, knowing that your mama obeyed God, the truth. Number two, that God don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. We don't understand why he done it, but it is his doing, and we gotta accept his will. And I promise you this, God will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that with all of my heart. Yes. With that in mind, we thank this church for allowing us to do the services here. And I thank you all for inviting me. I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, I got cards with me. Anything I can do, yes, I'm from Hempel. And they sell profit out on his own hometown, yeah. Some of you remember me when I was back there in a bad actor. I know you do. That's probably what you're thinking about. But remember this, your brick coming too. So be careful how you point your finger at me, because I got three pointing back at you. And here's the other thing. If he can set me down on the pew, he'll set you down too. So be just real careful about how you criticize versus taking the information and learning. Several books I have written. If you're here and you're interested in seeing me afterwards, we'll turn it back in the hands of the undertakers and those who are in charge of the services. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen. Thank you so much.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Don't you know that I dare not? I shall not be moved. You know that I shall not. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. That's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Will you fight on? Will you fight on? Will you fight on? Oh, will you fight on? You put your hand in God's hand, and you fight on. Oh, you fight on. You fight on, you fight on, you fight on, oh, you fight on. You put your hand in God's hand, and you fight on, oh, you fight on. If your brother treats you wrong, you take it to your brother and God alone. And you say, brother, you treated me wrong, and you fight on.